Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I love this song, and I love baseball. It's a soundtrack of summer, typically, and we are just a few days away from the start of summer, the official start of summer with the summer solstice and the longest days of the year. All the things I love about summer, the grilling and the taking trips. And I know many of us are tempered in our plans in 2020, and that's okay. It's a different year. And yet summer brings joy for a lot of people. It brings family get-togethers and cookouts. And just in my own personal world, talking to people over the weekend, hearing about their get-togethers with family and backyard cookouts. Finally, it feels like you're kind of emerging into the sunlight after you've been underground for a long time. And so I think in 2020, summer can be even more significant. Obviously, lots of people want to go to the beach, and some people are still hoping to take vacations. I kind of have given up on the idea of vacation in terms of a trip this year. But only because, A, I'm about to have a mortgage, yay, and B, because my priority for travel right away, as soon as it's possible, will be to visit my Grammy Helen, her community, her assisted living community in Wisconsin is still under lockdown, and so she has not had a visitor other than the workers at her center. She's not had anyone from her family or any of her friends. No one has visited her in, it's nearly 4 months now. More than three and a half. They're closing on 3.5. Because her particular community shut down relatively early, which was smart, and I'm so glad they did, and they haven't had any of their residents. They have hundreds of residents between their nursing home and then their wings where they have apartments. My grandma's got her own little apartment. They have had no cases of the virus. A couple of workers who, you know, thankfully did not have the close and tight contact with the residents. And so none of the residents ever had to be quarantined, other than just they're essentially confined to their rooms right now. They can go down the hall to the library. They can, you know, sit outside their doors and maybe talk to residents across the hall. But other than that, they're not even allowed to have visitors at the windows. And I know some of you have told me stories, and I've talked to friends who've gone to visit their elderly loved ones through windows. But this particular assisted living facility does not allow that because they feel like it's almost impossible to police or, you know, to keep people from doing it the right way. So they've been very diligent and vigilant, and no one has gotten sick, which is amazing. But I also appreciate that the people who run this facility are now petitioning the state government to say, hey, these elderly people need to see their families. And in the case of my grandmother, there've been a couple of moments where I've panicked. What if I never see her again? What if they don't allow any visitors through the rest of this year and something happens? I mean, she's 98 years old. I don't have that many more opportunities to see her. And I know some of you have been in that situation where you haven't been able to see your loved ones. You haven't been able to go spend time with people who are in the hospital and ill. And that's, to me, that is probably the most pain I can imagine, not being able to get to someone in my family or, you know, a loved one of a different kind when I desperately want to be with them and when I feel like they need me the most and need the company the most. So I try not to go there. I try to put those thoughts aside. My grandmother's doing really well. I mean, she's missed a few doctor's appointments, like I think many people have. But she's, other than a couple of blood pressure spikes, she's steady Eddie in terms of her health, even at 98 years old. And so I have hope that at some point in this summertime, I'll be able to visit her, spend time with her in person. And I don't care if I have to take 7 COVID-19 tests, but I'm determined that that is where I'm going as soon as I can and as soon as she is allowed to see visitors. So I know many of you are in the same boat where you're finally able to visit loved ones that you haven't seen in a long time. That to me is just, it's hope and it's joy and it's relief. And as I say, it's like coming out of a tunnel or being underground in a bunker for months and you finally get to see the sun. So it kind of hurts your eyes a little bit, but it's totally worth it. As I was running on Monday evening, I ran by this one family home in my town where they have a sign in their yard, and you run by it one way and it says one day at a time. You run by it the other way, and it says, don't give up. Yes, and thank you, neighbor. Of course, it's not about the running, but how appropriate is that for this spring? One day at a time, don't give up. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Not all of my reflections before this show were quite so serious and heavy. Nope, I had burgers. I have burgers on my brain. In fact, now I must have burgers later in this day. With summertime nearly upon us, what is the craziest thing you've ever put on a burger? No, cheese does not count as crazy. So find us on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. These are challenging times, and Rocket Mortgage is prepared to help. If you need mortgage assistance, contact the team 24/7 at rocketmortgage.com. From their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. Some of you have told me you put seafood on your burgers. I don't think I've ever had any type of seafood or fish on my burger, but some of these suggestions intrigue me. So again, find us on Twitter or Facebook. A lot of you are then responding to other suggestions on our Facebook page, and we also have the thread on Twitter, and our phone number is 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. If you ask the owners, executives around Major League Baseball, they're confident there will be a season. I wonder if that confidence has waned among players. Now, they're busy pointing the fingers at owners. Remember the whole strongly worded letter from the union's chief negotiator in which he accused baseball, on behalf of the players, he accused baseball owners of depriving America of its baseball pastime. Well, there definitely is that, but they're both sides culpable. Both sides. I know there are people out there who are still optimistic that a season will take place, but 50 games? That's not even as many games as the NBA and the NHL play, especially when it feels like they're wasting time. That's the part that irks me so much. You're wasting valuable time. And I feel like one thing 2020 has taught me, and maybe others of you, is that there is no time to waste. Don't take it for granted. Everything you thought was normal, routine, solid ground, all of that has been proved to be, if not temporary, at least not as solid as we thought. Major League Baseball is wasting valuable time. And as I said last hour, I believe 20 years down the road, 10 years down the road, we're not going to look back at the specific numbers, the dollars and cents. Maybe somebody will think about pay cuts. We'll know for sure that this was about money. But if there is no season, or if it's drastically reduced, and it barely resembles what we've come to expect with baseball as the soundtrack of summer, if they waste this 7 weeks, this period that we're in right now before basketball and hockey come back, I hope they're prepared to die on that hill, because there will be players who will not resume their careers, like the 1,200 minor leaguers who got cut, most of whom won't ever play baseball again or won't have the chance to play pro baseball again. When you have 1,200 minor leaguers who are out of work, whose, well, they're going to have to find other jobs, whose baseball dreams may now be DOA. And yet, Major League Baseball players can't come to an agreement. Many of them can't afford to waste a year of their pro careers. Now, that's their perspective. The owners, I get it. They stand to lose a lot of money. And some of them even think it's better not to play at all this year because they won't absorb the great losses. But you may not be able to measure the negative impact with dollars and cents if they don't play a season at all, or if they waste these 2 months now in June and July. But there will be a very palpable impact among fans. No doubt this will alienate fans, similar to what the strike did in 94. And so I think 10 years down the road, 15, 20, once the details fade, once the details become fuzzy, what 2020 will be remembered for is how baseball, and I mean in the baseball world, how they were ridiculous, how they chose money over playing at all, and how in the midst of a pandemic, that was so completely tone deaf. I know I've used that term a lot over the last couple of weeks. But their arguments and their debates and their refuse to compromise, it's not something that Americans can or will relate to. All we're going to remember is you screwed up. You were willing to miss an entire season over money in the midst of some of the highest unemployment rates that we've seen in decades. Decades. Going back to the Great Depression. The two things don't jive. And baseball's clearly losing the PR battle, but stands to lose a whole lot more than that. They haven't gone to the point of no return yet. But man, they are getting dangerously close. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Now, the two sides that he said, you don't necessarily need to know the details to know how bad it is. David Sampson, a guest on the show on a regular basis, longtime Marlins president, is now with CBS Sports and CBS Sports HQ. He and former third baseman, big league third baseman Will Middlebrooks, were going back and forth. And the two sides of this coin, even in a few seconds of them debating, just so obvious, this rift, and that they can't see the forest for the trees.
This next proposal is another step forward as MLB tries to find a way to get the players off their desire to get 100% of their pro-rata salaries. At the end of the day, baseball could actually insist on a certain number of games while giving pro-rata salary, but the players would then end up making fewer dollars during the course of the year than if there are more games. There is an agreement to be made here. This is another step forward in that direction.
How is this a step forward when it's been the same offer over and over and over again? And it's just in a prettier package now. Oh, well, if you make it to the playoffs, you might make more money. Well, health officials are also saying there's going to be a second wave of coronavirus and we might not even have the playoffs. So all that money's down the drain and then guys are just losing more money. So I really don't think this is a step forward. I talked to two guys right before I came on here. They're not very happy about it. These are veteran guys who've been around for a while. This isn't perceived well. I think the biggest issue, not the biggest issue, one of the issues is, why can't this be done behind closed doors? Trevor Bauer came out and said it. He's very vocal, as we all know. Why can't this be done behind closed doors? This is the only league, the NBA, the NHL, all the other leagues, we don't hear anything until it's done. And I think the issue here is I feel like the owners want the players to be the bad guys here.
You have to realize, first of all, that the reason why you're not hearing much about the NBA and NHL is that they haven't really started their labor negotiations in terms of what's going to happen going forward with the lack of revenue during the course of this season. When those leagues shut down, they were ready for the playoffs practically. Major League Baseball was in the unique situation where their season hadn't started. And the reason why you send proposals that may seem the same to the players is that when you're negotiating, you try to find a package where both sides are going to be hurting, but it's a way to present that package where both sides can save face. The players have said they will not move off prorated salaries. The owners are giving them an opportunity to not move if they don't want, or to move and have more games. So I think that you'll see the players say no, but then you'll see the players make a counter proposal. And the minute the players blink and are willing to move off full prorated salaries, there'll be a deal very quickly.
So David Samson is saying the players don't have to take a big step, but they have to take a step off of getting the prorated salaries. They have to take another type of pay cut, whether it's a sliding scale where the most elite players, the highest paid players take larger pay cuts, whether it's 75% of their prorated salaries, or whether it's fewer games at full prorated salaries. Whatever the case is, they've got to take another step. Otherwise, owners are just going to dictate, we're going to do this number of games and we're going to start on this date, and you're either with us or you're against us. And even if you're against us, if you don't want to lose your job, you better show up. And so there's a lot of damage that's already been done. There's more that could be done, though. All hope is not lost. But as you can hear in that exchange on CBS Sports HQ between David Samson and Will Middlebrooks, even analysts are drawing a line in the sand and picking sides. I think both sides are ridiculous. Somebody asked me earlier, whose side are you on? It sounds like you're on the side of players. I think they're all ridiculous and completely missing the point, which is you need to get back on the field. Gosh, it's crazy how that can be so drowned out in all this noise. And so we talk about burgers. I mean, burgers, baseball, they're supposed to go to bed together. Right now, we're just talking about burgers. So on Twitter or Facebook, what's the craziest thing you've ever put on a burger? And some of you have got some crazy ideas, but I like this from Steven on Facebook. Pork rinds. Dave, he put pork rinds on his burger.
Why not?
Pork rinds, grilled poblano peppers, and nacho cheese sauce. Really quickly, funny story. It's short, I promise. I have a friend that I went to college with who now and then will check out my podcast if it's about a team or an issue that she's interested in, but doesn't normally listen to sports radio. What she normally listens to is talk radio. So she and her family were in the car on Sunday driving home after visiting some family members. And she sends me this text that says, "We're all in the car heading home to Virginia, and I just got an urge to eat pork rinds. Crying so hard she's laughing emoji twice." Her implication was that she had just heard my pork rinds commercial for Southern Batch small recipe pork rinds. Now, I thought it was only during football season. I thought that those commercials would only air on sports radio stations, but apparently that is not the case. I've infiltrated the talk radio realm with my pork rinds commercials. I get a lot of tweets. Apparently the voice is recognizable, which I like. I do like that. So thank you to Southern Batch Small Recipe. Southern Recipe. I said that backwards. Southern Recipe Small Batch Pork Rinds, and Mark Singleton, who asked me to do those commercials. So yes, pork rinds on your burger, Steven. I like it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Big Mac, Big Mac, hamburger, cheeseburger, Big Mac. What is this? Big Mac,
Whopper, hamburger, cheeseburger. This is what happens when you type into YouTube songs about cheeseburgers.
Come on. Is there a particular group that sings this and does it proudly?
They do it proudly. And I will give you 20 guesses as to how many views this video has on YouTube.
20 guesses as to how many. All 20. Do I need 20?
Just give it a wild guess.
Okay, 2 million.
Just about. What 1.58 million views.
And is it actual singing burgers?
This video just has a picture of a cheeseburger that changes every couple of seconds, but it's just called Hamburger Cheeseburger Big Mac Whopper, and it's goes on like that for 3 minutes and 4 seconds.
Oh, heavens. The stuff we find on the internet, it's crazy what entertains us. I mean, I say that as a talk show host who's supposed to entertain. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thank God we didn't play all 3 minutes, because that would be stuck in my head and I would not be able to sleep. What is the craziest thing you've ever put on a burger? Dave, many people, I'm saying many people, several dozen probably, maybe more, are telling us peanut butter on a burger. Now, I love peanut butter probably more than I love burgers. I would say I eat peanut butter more frequently than I eat burgers. I've never tried the two together, but how bad can it be? Can we make a deal and try it?
All right, I'll try it, but I'm going to guarantee you it's not going to be good.
What? Oh, so that's an open mind for you.
Oh, no, I eat just about everything.
Exactly.
But as I said in the break, not everything's meant to go together.
Okay, like, tell people again, because it's a different audience, what you put on your burger. There are 8 things you put on your burger, and then we'll talk about how things don't go together. Go ahead.
This is true. But some form of cheese, American or otherwise, ketchup, mayonnaise, mustard, lettuce, tomatoes, jalapenos, avocado, bacon, and a slice of pineapple.
The pineapple, I just don't understand. But I feel like jalapeno and avocado would cancel each other out.
See, I think they complement each other. You chop up the jalapenos, you know, a little bit, and you just kind of mix them in with everything. And then, slice or two of avocado on top just brings it all together.
Oh, my gosh. And the burger has to be ginormous for all of those things to fit on top of it.
Oh, yeah. It's like 2 meals on one burger.
You lost me at mayonnaise, man. I mean, you know how that old the line from Jerry Maguire, you had me at hello. Well, you lost me at mayo. Let's see. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, Andrew is joining the peanut butter parade. Oh, I like that hashtag. The craziest thing I put on a burger was peanut butter. It was some special burger at this restaurant near me. Another tweet says guacamole. Or quackamole, because you are a quack. You cannot blame that on autocorrect. No phone out there is going to autocorrect guacamole to quackamole. Quackamole. It's like whack-a-mole. Quackamole. A lot of you are saying seafood, too. Some form of seafood, which I've never tried before. I love seafood. Probably more than I like burgers, but I've never put seafood on a burger. But this comes from another tweeter, mac and cheese or lobster. Teriyaki, that seems pretty tame. I don't know that that's crazy. But Rada says jalapeno pepper jelly. Mind blown. Jalapeno pepper jelly. Interesting. Oh, so here's Phil about the peanut butter. He says, Dave, he saw it on an episode of Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. It's horrible. 0 stars. Would not recommend. Wait a minute. You watched someone else do it? You didn't do it. But because of that, you're saying it gets 0 stars? No.
I used to watch that show.
Yes.
But that doesn't mean I'm going to eat everything that they suggest on that show, because they do some crazy stuff on shows like that. You know, they travel around different areas,
right,
different restaurants,
right.
And then, you know. Peanut butter is amazing. Peanut butter jelly, peanut butter with chocolate. It just
peanut butter with marshmallow.
Yeah, it goes with a million things, just not with burger meat.
No, we made a pact. We're going to try it.
Yep, I'll try it.
Okay, now are we going to put it on the bread or put it on the burger? What do you do?
I mean, I guess you're spreading it on one side of the bun, if not both buns, and then smashing it together.
I think Teddy, by the way, is totally making it up just to get his tweet read on the air. Sea urchin on a burger is great. A sea urchin? Seriously?
Well, Teddy got his 8 seconds of fame.
He did. Send me a menu, a screenshot of a menu that serves sea urchin on a burger. Randy says goat cheese and strawberry jam. Whoa. You guys are crazy. Crazy. Anyway, what is the craziest thing you've ever put on a burger? Andrew Bogish is with us. Well, he's not really with us, but with us in spirit. His spirit is that, you know, it transcends the limitations of our radio studio. I didn't even need to say that. So, Andrew, what is the craziest thing you've ever put on a burger? And don't say peanut butter, because I don't think I'd take any more peanut butter for now.
It is not peanut butter, although I've seen that on a menu in places, but I have not tried it. I'm glad that apparently it's not good, so I'm not missing anything.
Well, no. We're going to try it. I think you should try it with us. You want to join our pact?
Yeah. Am I grilling a burger at 5:20 in the morning?
No. Next time you have a burger, you just need to put peanut butter on one version of the burger. I'm assuming you eat two at least. I always eat two. And so you need to try peanut butter the next time you have a burger.
Okay.
All right. I think your son's going to want to do it too.
He will not. My kids are way too young and way too unadventurous to to be putting peanut butter on a burger. That's a hard sell.
So craziest thing.
I've been racking my brain since Dave gave me the heads up. I mean, for me, it was a battle to try a fried egg because that's such a popular thing now. And then you cut it and it oozes out and everything mixes together. And uncooked egg has freaked me out for a long time, but I've moved past that altogether. And it is pretty good on a burger, you know, like everything else. Just kind of serving as a way to bring all of the different toppings and flavors together.
So uncooked or fried, which one?
Well, fried, but I mean, it's still a runny, gooey egg. I usually prefer scrambled eggs.
Oh, okay.
But when you cut a fried egg open and all the yolk still is loose and comes dripping out, and
yeah, you're supposed
messy,
to dunk your toast in it.
Exactly. That was a battle for me that I've won that battle at least. One of the few.
I mean, you anchors. Bob Uessler told us, pepper jack cheese. That was his crazy burger topping. Pepper jack cheese.
Listen, spice for some of us is a dangerous thing.
Oh. Okay. Well, we've gotten your agreement that you will take this taste test with us at whatever point. Sometime over the next month, I assume we'll all have burgers. So that's cool.
You know, I've had peanut butter and jelly wings, which were delicious.
How do you – wait, what?
So it's peanut butter sauce, and they somehow make like a grape jelly, like dry rub. So you taste peanut butter and jelly. It's not actual peanut butter and jelly on the wings, but I mean, it is in a traditional sense, like what you put on a sandwich, but it's peanut butter and it's jelly able to be molded onto a chicken wing. And it's delicious because it's sweet and salty. It's really good.
That is interesting. I've never heard of that before. Of course, when I tell people to have a cheeseburger on a glazed donut, some people haven't heard of that either, but it's the same kind of idea. It's the salty and it's the sweet and it's amazing. So I like
I can't bring myself to try that one.
Oh, why not?
I don't know. It just seems unnecessary. Like there's just like one too many things going on there.
Oh, okay. Peanut butter and jelly wings.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I acknowledge the inconsistency.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So these crazy burger discussions, pepper jack cheese, peanut butter and jelly wings. What is this world coming to?
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
That is the voice of Baltimore Orioles general manager. I forgot his first name. Don't tell me. It is Mike Elias. And he is trying to remain confident. Honestly, though, I think many people around baseball are speaking confidence in the hopes that speaking it will give them actual confidence, more confidence, and potentially will kind of contribute to the narrative that it's not as bad as it appears. I think it's pretty bad. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We've done lots of shows about baseball and whose side are you on and how they should fix this. And honestly, I think most fans are weary of it and kind of on this tack where, hey, we've lived without it. And this isn't everybody, but we've lived without it. We're not going to miss you, baseball. If this is what you think of us, if we now know what you think of us, you think so little of us as fans that you would allow something like money. I get it. It's a business. But you would allow money to stand in the way of your season where other sports have found a way to do it. It's not as though baseball is in this boat all by itself. Other sports have found a way to do it. Other sports, other owners, other leagues, they're also facing drastic revenue losses and reductions in revenue. And they've figured out a way to do it. Baseball is kind of alone on its island right now. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4CBS. That's our toll-free line sponsored by Geico. Geico has introduced the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers that lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for info and eligibility. Again, 855-212-4CBS. The conversation continues about protesting during the national anthem come NFL season. I mentioned that with Jason LaCanfora in his report, and hundreds of you responded to our show yesterday. So Sunday night into Monday morning. And that conversation is no doubt one that we will pick up again. Other athletes have continued to be part of peaceful protests. The civil rights movement is, it's going to continue, and it's a lot of voices and a lot of people. And now the conversation needs to shift to change and how the change can come about. And as part of that, tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, the cast of We Need to Talk engages in an important dialogue about social activism and its deep impact in the world of sports on CBS Sports Network. I said this to start the show, even as I warned you that I had some summertime on my mind, that in 2020, the comments about stick to sports, I mean, they make me giggle. First of all, what sports would you like me to stick to exactly? There's only so much I can say about golf and NASCAR. And honestly, if I did 4 hours of golf and NASCAR every night, every morning, I would lose more listeners than anything else I might do on the air. It's just, it's not something you can talk about on a radio show for 4 hours, not one that is intended to keep a national audience. And also, there are many athletes who are involved in protests and are on the front lines of what's happening right now in our nation. And so I'm not doing my job if I don't talk about it. But I understand there's no way to please everybody. And so we're kind of getting off the beaten path on this show and talking about burgers. And I shared with you this very private confession that for the first time in my life, I watched Saving Private Ryan on the anniversary of D-Day. I know. How can I possibly say that Tom Hanks is my all-time favorite actor and not watch? And I have a friend who's big into movies. And like me, he loves military history. Yes, I know. How could I not watch the movie when I love military history? But I was texting him during the final 20 minutes. Do they win this battle or lose this battle? Does this go well for them in the end? I'm not telling you anything, he responded. But it was, it was me. It was very stressful at the end. So I was needed some outlet. I need to text someone to try to get some answers. I was attempting to cheat and look at the last page of the book before we got there, but, he wouldn't give me any answers. Now there's much to think about with that movie. So I think I'm going to have to go back and watch it again. So that private confession plus the craziest things you've ever put on burgers. David on Facebook says the peanut butter debate is hilarious. A lady I work with raved about the peanut butter burger. I thought the same thing as Dave. Well, and I don't know that I would go horrible. Dave thinks it's going to be horrible no matter what. I think it sounds odd, but I love peanut butter, and there are a lot of things that peanut butter is great with. So, you know, I'm willing to try it, which is why we've now made this pact along with Andrew Bogish that we will try peanut butter the next time we have burgers. But David goes on to say, I thought the same thing. That sounds horrible until I tried it. You will be amazed. How about that? Is that any more convincing for you, Dave?
Nope.
This is coming from Dave, who I kind of believe can no longer say to me, there isn't a food that I won't eat and that I don't like.
I love everything about food. There's nothing I won't eat, but it's just they're not meant to go together.
Okay, Mr. Jalapenos and avocado and whatever else you put on your burgers. Let's see. Donald says pepperoni and pork chops. How do you fit a pork chop on a burger? Maybe it's just me. Maybe I have an odd idea about pork chops, but don't they have bones? At least the pork chops I have. How do you put a pork chop with a bone on top of a burger? You guys are making this stuff up. Mike on Facebook, pancake syrup on a burger. I actually have heard of that. And like I said, one of my favorite combinations of burgers ever. Now, I can't have it very often. I don't go to the fair very often anymore, but a cheeseburger on a glazed donut. I could make that. I could go to the store and grab a couple glazed donuts and make it. But I would have to be after I run a half marathon and burn, 4,000 calories. So pancake syrup on a burger. Robert on Facebook, Chesapeake burger, a Maryland crab cake on top with pepper jack cheese. We'll have to suggest that to Bob Usler, who was our anchor earlier in the show, because his idea of crazy was pepper jack cheese, though he did agree to try the egg on a burger. Jesse says fried egg and grilled onions, please. I'm going to have to try the egg, too. Andy, peanut butter and bacon sandwiches are phenomenal. Now, no, you lost me there. I can do either peanut butter on my burger, maybe, or bacon, but I cannot do peanut butter and bacon. Peanut butter and bacon. Now, I know some of you would tell me bacon is good with anything. And so I guess if you subscribe to that theory, then you would also put the bacon with any other topping on the burger. But that's cray. Blaine's with me. Substitute a glazed donut for the bun. He must have missed the conversation. Anthony, egg, strawberry fig preserve, jalapeno with hot sauce. I hope he does not mean altogether. I really hope he does not mean altogether. Let's see. Andy's with me as well. Put a burger in the middle of a Krispy Kreme donut. Ooh, Dave, this one's disgusting. I don't care if you like bologna, but Carl says I put bologna on a hamburger once. Just once, though.
Why?
I don't know. That sounds so awful. When I was growing up, I had a stepdad who loved Spam. Loved it. Sometimes he would substitute Spam for burgers. But there were times when he put Spam on the burgers. I kind of feel like that's what bologna on a hamburger would taste like. Blech. I can't. I can't like it. I want to like it on Facebook because Carl is original. No one else has said bologna, but I can't like it. Frank, burger with bacon and a sunny side up egg on top. Yeah, that sounds awesome. Chris says, my daughter turned me on to having chorizo on my burger. Yeah, I feel like that's become pretty common. I've seen more and more people that do chorizo on burgers. Chorizo. Joshua on Facebook, here in Wisconsin, there's a restaurant that serves a PB&J burger. Excuse me. The jelly is a hot pepper jelly. I've also had a burger that used a bacon jelly type substance. That makes it scary to me, the way he puts it, a bacon jelly type substance. It could be motor oil, and they told you it was bacon jelly type substance, and you were all in. David on Facebook, grilled kielbasa. I do love kielbasa as a good Polish girl. Polish, half Polish, half Italian. Let's see. Jason posts a picture of a pizza burger. So the bun is pizza. It's like two personal pizzas. And then it's almost like the glazed donut burger, but it's two little pan pizzas with the burger in the middle. Jerry, or I'd a tater tots on a burger. Oh yeah. People put fries and tater tots on burgers all the time. Glenn says potato chips. Tony, I frequent a diner with 40 plus burgers on the menu. Oh my gosh, I'd be overwhelmed. He says, I get the Elvis burger, peanut butter and banana and bacon. Dave, peanut butter and banana and bacon.
Yeah, we got to help these people.
We need to set up a lifeline. Wayne on Facebook says applesauce. Michael is, he's really out there. He's going bacon bits. And then here's one more with Brian. I used to live in Shreveport, Louisiana. There's a place there called the Twisted Root Burger Company, known for serving whatever burger you create. Anything goes. He says, my creation, deer burger, I'm assuming he means venison, with sharp cheddar cheese, peanut butter, grape jelly, bacon, sunny side up egg. So peanut butter, jelly, bacon, and the egg, and Texas Pete hot sauce. Okay, I would get one bite into that and probably throw up. I'd be about as good at that as I am at Chubby Bunny, which I typically lose. We'll need to do that again when we get back together in studio. Thanks so much for all your responses. Go have a burger today with some peanut butter. I would recommend it. And we're back tonight for the Hump Show. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.